I'm glad to be back in Madison. Well, we just have all kind of things to cheer about today, don't we? Roy's the only one cheering over himself, but I don't know. Maybe they're afraid to cheer, Roy. No, I have been so excited and anxious to be here today to deliver this message that I feel is very timely. I told Roy when all this came down and y'all were having your election and everything, I'm like, okay, I don't need to be there that weekend. And he was like, yeah, you do need to be there that weekend. So here I am, and y'all probably would rather be hearing your new pastor this morning, but you're stuck with me. Okay? I have been coming here, I think, you can correct me, I think the first time Steve and I came was like 2016 or 17. And we've been coming every year since then, and it's always been one of my very favorite spots. And I was sitting over there this morning while Jessica was so wonderfully teaching us the Word of God, and I was thinking about the things that I have been able to come alongside in this wonderful group of people, the deaths of incredible people that I had become friends with, and the births of a lot of cute little babies that I have got to hold and become parts of. And it's just a family. And thank you for allowing me to be part of the family in Madison, because it has been my pleasure. I want to give honor today before I start to Roy and Lois Grant. I love this couple. I truly do. And what an incredible work for God that they have done. And this church and the quality of everything you do stand as a testament to their great leadership. And just because we're moving to the future, it does not diminish anything from our past. You have been built on a great family for almost 50 years. And we honor all of that. But God has got a great future in store for Madison. And Peter is now your new pastor, and he is going to bring some incredible advancements to the kingdom of God. Peter, the rock, and upon this rock, you will build this church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. You have the anointing, you have the vision, you have God's calling, and there will not be a glitch, and it's only going to be upward from here. And we all need to put faith in the fact that we honor the past and we look forward to the future. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Today's message, as you can see, is a bit different, and it's going to be a more of a visual type message. It's very symbolic, but it's very useful. And I'm going to be speaking today about something that's extremely important to advance the kingdom of God here in Madison, and it is the anointing. Because without the anointing, we cannot do anything. Without His Spirit that hovers over us and overshadows us and helps us and leads us and guides us, we cannot progress any further. And so I feel very strongly today about teaching on the anointing of God. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the honor and the privilege of standing before your incredible people. I never take it lightly, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that it lights my path, it directs me, it helps us all. And Lord, I ask that you would anoint today, not only my words, but anoint every person that is sitting in this audience to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would have for them to hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Now, in the Bible, anointing oil was a very common biblical practice. In the Bible, there was people, there were places, there were things that were anointed with what they called holy anointing oil. Now, to anoint means to make something sacred or to consecrate it or to set it apart or to dedicate it to God. And most of us have kind of preconceived ideas about such words. And usually you think about somebody putting oil on somebody's head and anointing them as an act of service. And I don't know, some of us that have been around Pentecost a long time, when we hear the word anointing, we think about some kind of animated preacher that's preaching under the anointing because that's where our roots are. But anointing has so much deeper meaning, and it's very pertinent to the kingdom of God, and I feel it's extremely pertinent at the juncture that this church sits at. There are some very important things to be learned from the phrase in Psalms 23, where David penned these words, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Now, you all know that David wrote this psalm. You all know that David became the king of Israel. But before he was king, David was just a shepherd boy. He was actually kind of an outcast. He was the least in his family. And in historical accounts, shepherds were really the lowest on the totem pole. If you were a shepherd, you know, you were just not too high in the class order. And that's what David was. He was simply a shepherd, and he spent most of his young life out on mountains and in valleys just watching over his sheep herds. In those days, shepherds did a very interesting thing. They anointed the heads of their sheep with oil. When a shepherd took over the flock, he made sure that every sheep had a really good oil anointing on their heads. And it was an olive oil that they mixed with all kind of sulfur and spices, and they smeared it on all the little sheep's heads. There were three reasons they did this. First one's kind of gross, so I'm sorry. It is what it is. The oil repelled flies. Flies tend to come to cattle and horses and sheep and all that. Well, with sheep, the way that they're structured of their face, the flies would deposit their eggs in the soft mucus lining of the little sheep's nose. And they would hatch and travel to the brain, and they would cause horrible agitation and distraction and a mess in the herd of sheep. They would have these sheep that just have a crazy sheep. That's why they would do this, to keep that from happening. Number two, the oil prevented infectious disease. Because, in case y'all don't know the anatomy of a sheep, they can't shake hands when they meet each other. And they don't do good at hugging. So what they do is they rub heads. When they meet each other, they rub heads. Now, we're not going to start that at the church. we're not going to start that. But that's what they do. They rubbed heads. But what would happen is, if one sheep was sick and he rubbed heads with somebody else, the other sheep got sick. But this anointing oil put a barrier. It was sulfur, spices, and oil, and it put a barrier so that the infectious disease did not flow from one to the other. And the third thing the oil did, it prevented hurt and harm in times of conflict. Because when rams start butting heads, there could be some real damage done. But when the shepherd had enough oil on those rams' heads, instead of it being damaged, when they would hit each other, it would just kind of glance off. Now, I could sit up and preach an hour on those 3 points, but that's not the whole crux of this message today. But the anointing oil given to us by God right now, and I'm not talking about the literal olive oil, I'm talking about the anointing that the Spirit of God pours out on all of us on a continual basis when we're in His presence. The one that 1 John 2 and 27 tells us is to abide in the continuous anointing. That's our unction. That's our empowerment from God. There are special times of anointing that we're going to have like today, but you're supposed to abide and live and dwell in the presence of the Spirit of God and live anointed lives continually. And when you abide in the anointing with Him, if you do, like the anointing oil for the sheep, this abiding anointing will have 3 major results for people and not just sheep. Remember the flies on the sheep? Satan is called in the scripture Beelzebub, which is the Lord of the flies. He will be repelled and prevented from hatching thoughts in your mind that will keep you agitated and irritated if you will live under the anointing of God. Number 2, living in the presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit will prevent evil infection from spreading as we get our heads together in a church congregation if we live under the anointing. And number 3, living in the presence of the anointing of the Spirit of Jesus will ease the impact of any conflict among the sheep, and it will lessen harm and hurt among God's flock, the church. The anointing is important. The anointing has to come. So as you see, it's not just a symbolic act. It is to be in the abiding place of the Spirit-filled believer to live with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And my goal by the end of this day that we, this church, will come to a level of living in abiding anointing and decide that that's where we choose to stay. It's a position to be acquired. It's almost like when you get the Holy Ghost, you just need to start seeking after the anointing of God to rest on you continually. And this brings me to the anointing oil and understanding how and why it was made and used. Because when we literally anoint someone, it's a very symbolic act. And there are many, many instances in Scripture, and I'm not going to go into them for lack of time, of where they used this oil to anoint people in Scripture. Goes back to Exodus chapter 30. God instructs Moses as he's given him all the instructions to build the tabernacle that they had in the wilderness. He gives him instructions on how to make the holy anointing oil. This anointing oil was very precisely made. It was to be preserved only for sacred use. It was never, Scripture tells you, you could never put it on flesh and used for any other kind of pleasure. It was anointing that was to set people apart and anoint them for purpose in His kingdom. It was holy. And it was used to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Testimony. Let's read it. We're going to read from Exodus 30. I know this is a little lengthy, but we need to read it all, 22 through 31. Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250, in case y'all didn't know, 250 is half of 500. God knows math. even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of all olive and hin. And thou shalt, that's not a chicken, by the way. That's a measurement. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointment, an anointment of compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all the vessels, and the candlesticks, and all his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of the burnt offering, and all the vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. It was a specific combination of specific things to be used for a specific purpose. Anointed for service. And that is what we are supposed to be. You know, in the New Testament, we have become the kings and the priests. All of us are to be anointed for service. It's never for self. It's always for him. To be used in the kingdom of God to advance it. And I just believe that there is a church here in Madison that is ready to advance the purpose of God in this new season you are walking into. Now, the ingredients of the anointing oil are extremely meaningful. The largest quantity of oil was the olive oil. And you were to use a hin, which it's almost a gallon. Different scholars have a little different twist on that. And we're not going to do a gallon here today because that's like a lot of oil. But I have got it down the measurements where it's not quite that much. But it was considered, olive oil was considered the carrier oil because it was the basis of the total combination of the anointing oil. And it was the only oil that was used in the anointing oil that was native to the country of Israel. It's the fruit of the olive tree, and the olive tree in Israel was significant of their entire lives. The Israelites used olive oil for everything. It was used to produce light for their candlesticks. They used it for food. They used it for protection. They used it to soften their skin like we use lotions and stuff. They used it to heal wounds. They had all kind of things that they used the olive oil for. And I love all the symbolism in that because oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it provides us with light, with food, with protection, with softening, with healing. It provides all of those things. So the first thing that they put in when they started mixing their anointing oil was a big dose of olive oil. Trying not to splatter it everywhere. So there's the olive oil. And then they started adding the spices to that carrier oil of the Spirit. And these spices that they would take, they usually were in dry form when they would get them, and they would steep them until only their very essence remained. And then they would mix that essence of that herb with a little bit of olive oil and make a complete new type of oil. And the first one mentioned in the Exodus scripture was myrrh. Myrrh comes from Ethiopia, and it's very fragrant, sometimes a little bitter and sticky in essence. Myrrh was not only used as a fragrance, in scriptural times, but they believed it had great healing properties. And it helped reduce pain. It killed bacteria. It helped heal wounds. And I think it's so extremely symbolic that myrrh was a gift of the wise men to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. And it was also myrrh that was brought by Nicodemus to anoint the body of Jesus when he died. So listen to this carefully, because symbolism abounds. The myrrh, the little bottle of myrrh, the bitterness and the wounds of life that the myrrh represents is diluted by the full measure of the oil of the Holy Spirit, and it will preserve you from birth to death, just as it was symbolic in it being brought to the manger and used at the tomb. Life brings us a lot of bitter things, a lot of wounds that need healing. But when you take all that stuff and you mix it in with the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. Hold on a second. Jessica and I thought we had the tops pulled off of those, y'all, but it didn't come all the way off. But when you take the bitterness of life, see, we can't hold on and make the bitterness and the bitter things of life become the principal thing in our life. You gotta give them a good dose of the Holy Ghost and stir it all up to where the Holy Ghost saturates every part of that and starts cleansing the bitterness out of our lives and starts making us into what God wants us to be, Christ-like. And as told by it being brought to the manger and all the way to the death, you're not going to get by bitter things happening. We're not. But it can be diluted in his presence. And I mix my bitter with my wounds in with the Holy Spirit. And the oil, it becomes an anointing in my life. And that's when, as Jessica said this morning in her lesson, that bad things can become used for good. And the next ingredient was sweet cinnamon. And its country of origin was Sri Lanka, which is off the coast of India. It grows in India. It also grows in China. And it's a root when it first starts growing, cinnamon, if any of y'all have ever done any apothecary stuff. And it's upright in nature, the way the little root stands up. And they used half as much of the cinnamon in the anointing oil recipe as they did in the myrrh. But the cinnamon is the dominant fragrance that you will be able to tell. Cinnamon was used to reduce inflammation and control all kind of imbalances in people's systems. The Hebrew word for cinnamon is upright. So bitterness in our life will bring us low. But the anointing, so to speak, will reduce our inflammation and stand us back upright. If we live uprightly, the bitterness of the world has no rule on us. We won't live inflamed, but we will live empowered. And living uprightly brings a whole lot of blessings. Psalms 112:4, to the upright arises light in the darkness. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. The blessings of being upright are so many. So sometimes the bitter experiences of life are sweetened by the sweet cinnamon of the upright, and the anointing must have the additive of sweet cinnamon to make me stand in the middle of all the inflammations and the bitterness that life may bring to me. And so we add the little bit of sweet cinnamon. Amazing how God figured all of this out. Now we come to the ingredient, sweet calamus. It's from Nepal. It's from Arabia. Same proportion as cinnamon. It's sometimes called sweet cane. The Hebrew word for calamus is redeemed. It's a sweet scent that was considered extremely precious. And it was used to help, listen to this, memory support and cognitive function. Because of its strong, fragrant, calming aroma, it symbolized purity and holiness. It keeps your thinking straight. The anointing will keep your thinking straight. It signifies the rising up of the Lord Jesus from a place of death, and from our wounds and from our bitterness, our minds are cleared by the oil of calamus. It signifies my resurrection. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Let this mind be in me, which was in Christ Jesus. And so it is with my redemption. Redemption brings resurrection. And we put all of that in with all the bitter and the inflamed and the upright. And we renew our mind so that we become more like him. And that's what the anointing's purpose is. I'm anointed to his service to become like him. The last ingredient is in proportion with the first one of myrrh. And it's from China. You use twice as much as the cinnamon and the calamus. And it's called cassia. It's best described as like hot cinnamon in contrast to sweet cinnamon. And it grows at very high altitudes. But the literal translation of the word in Hebrew means to bow the head. It's bending. It's a plant that's very bending in nature. It's very pliable. It's bark that they strip. And it's used to ease nerves and to help your body function properly. It promotes emotional health. It was considered a symbol of being stripped of pride, stripped of self, consecrated to God and his service, his very calming properties. So there was a reason that God gave us a double dose of that, because we need it. We need it. And that's the ingredients that he specifically picked. And I found it so interesting when I first started studying this, because in Scripture, of course, they didn't have bottles of pills and medicines and things like we do. And they actually used these things for their medicines. And when you realize what each of these were used, and that God chose each of these to mix with the holy oil of the Spirit to anoint his servants with, so that they would have clarity and direction. So much is at work in the anointing oil. Our mind and our emotions are brought under the influence of the oil of the Spirit. I feel that Spirit settling in here today. And in our exalted position as a child of the King, we're humbled that he has preserved us with the myrrh. He has made us upright in his sight with the sweet cinnamon. He has redeemed us with the calamus. And he has stripped away our pride so that we can be consecrated with the cassia and therefore anointed with the oil of the Spirit. It's beautiful. Also remember the origin of the countries where all of these spices were gathered from. Of course, the main one, the olive oil, was from Israel, but it was intermingled with the spices of the nations. The anointing of the Spirit is for the entire world, poured out on whosoever will. His anointing would only be found in the when the carrier oil was blended with spices from the nations. He's been trying to tell us for thousands of years that we are all one body in him, whether we're Jew, whether we're Gentile, whether we're American, whether we're Pakistani, whether we're African, whether we're Indian. We are all brought together as one in a church body, and he is the one that we are all poured into his presence and into his kingdom, so that we can come forth anointed to do a work for him on the earth. The reason they anointed Aaron and his boys was not for their benefit, but it was for the congregation's benefit. It was so they could minister and bring light and bring hope and bring healing and bring restoration and all of the things that the oils represented. It's a beautiful story. Biblical anointing was to set apart as sacred and holy. When the horn of oil was poured out on Samuel, who was the prophet of Israel, Scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord came on him from that day forward. David, Samuel anointed David as king of Israel when he was just a boy. But from that day forward, David was destined to be a king of Israel. Bezalel, the one that was put in charge of building the tabernacle, they anointed him and endowed him with special wisdom under the shadow of the Almighty to build this tabernacle. And of course, Aaron and his sons were anointed as priests to serve in the tabernacle. Now that brings us to us today, the Spirit-filled believer, who are both kings and priests, royal priesthood, anointed by the oil of the Holy Spirit. And with the anointing comes authority and power and endowment. Only for service. A good summation. I love the scripture, Isaiah 10 and 27. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed." Why? Because of the anointing. I want you to start getting ready in your heart today for what's about to happen in this place. Look at that scripture and listen to me. The robbers of the past are going to be overtaken by the anointing for the future. The yoke is destroyed before the oil. And this infers that the yoke is destroyed before those who are in covenant, signified by that anointing oil of the Holy Ghost. And Paul assured us, the one who anoints us is God, and he is our good shepherd, which takes us all the way back to the beginning and the sheep. When he uses that anointing to protect us. The anointing will break the yoke of your past. We use anointing oil when we pray for people for disease, for healing. Anointing will break the yoke of assaults on your mind. Anointing will break the yoke of infectious spirits that are sent to hurt and destroy us. The anointing will cover us. And I want you, as you sit here today listening to me, start thinking about what you want the anointing to break off of you today. When we anoint you today with oil, what are we going to walk out of this building released from? What did I drag in here today that once I walk out after I have been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, can I leave at this altar and never reclaim again? Because the anointing will break the yoke. It just happens. It's scriptural. Isaiah 61, Luke 4 tells us that the anointing will help us to preach to the meek and the poor. The anointing will heal the brokenhearted. The anointing will bring deliverance to people that are in bondage. The anointing will bring sight to the blind. The anointing will bring liberty to the captives. It will exchange the oil of mourning for the garment of praise and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's all wrapped up in the anointing. Whew. This is a doing anointing, a serving anointing, not just a feeling. In case you didn't know this, you can't always live on feelings. They'll lie to you. But what we can depend on is the spirit that's in us and the anointing that's on us. And whether I feel it or not, I know that he abides in me and that I can abide in him. And so today, in a symbolic move, we are going to do something very special. We are going to anoint your pastor, your new pastor, and his wife and their children for service, not only to Madison, but to the kingdom of God. You know, I've said for years that I've been coming here. Whatever couples are supposed to help with this, can y'all come get started with my oil placements? I've said this for years. You guys have the potential in Madison to do some things for the kingdom of God that have never been done. And here's one of the reasons. And I want to just touch on this because I feel like I'm family and I feel like I'm at home. One of the great things about this church and about Roy Grant is that he has built this as a network of a team. It's not a big I and a little you at Calvary. And I find that so unique because, as we all know, at the foot of Calvary, everybody's equal. And at Calvary Gospel, we're all equal. This is no more the responsibility of Roy and Lois or Peter and Casey than it is of you or Phil and Jessica. This is a team effort. And because you guys have been taught this, trained this, this is the biblical way. And this is what God wants to raise up as an example in the kingdom of God, how people can work together, how people can walk in unity, how people can be united as a team and move forward. And I just am believing with all of my heart that all the foundation that has been laid for this teamwork is about to be elevated to an entirely new dimension. And so in symbolic significance of that today, we're going to start by anointing. And I want Pastor Peter and Casey and his children to come. Can you pull this table out a little bit this way and so they can stand up here and don't have to trip over the speakers? If y'all could just move it back a little bit. There we go. If y'all come here, Roy and Lois. What a beautiful family. Y'all, look at them. Wow. And I get to stand up here with all of them. This family has got a big job in front of them. And it's not only him. Trust me, it's her. And it's all four of them. And let me just say, as an older saint of God, they need your support. They don't need your criticism. They don't need your second guessing. They need your support. And because this is a team, you're going to give it to them. But because it's biblical, we're going to anoint them for the service to you. Just like Aaron was anointed for the service to Israel. And Roy and Lois and whoever else you want to come help anoint, who do you want to come?
Help anoint. If I could have our pastoral team, Brother Phil and Sister Jessica, to come up. And just so we can kind of prepare for the next stage, if I could have all of our licensed ministers and our elders, our board, if they could just kind of come up and be ready for the next step beyond this. This is a bittersweet, but it is an honor and it's a privilege to be able to anoint my pastor, Peter Sand, with the anointing oil. I submit to your authority. I love you. I appreciate you. We love you. And we're going to stand. Let's all stand, church. I will say this from experience. Pastoring is difficult. It's a very, at times, lonely. It can be frustrating. It can be the most exciting. You can have the most exciting Sunday and the absolute worst Monday. We've all been there. But we're going to take and we're going to anoint Brother Peter. And we're going to anoint Sister Casey. And we're going to anoint their family. And we're going to pray. And if I could have Brother Phil and Sister Jessica and just all of us. I only have one hand. But thank you, Phil. But we're going to anoint Brother Peter, and we're going to start with Brother Peter and Sister Casey, and let's just pray right now. Lord, I pray, God. I pray, Lord, for my brother Peter. God, you have called him, Lord, for such a time as this. I pray, God, that the power of the Holy Ghost, this anointing oil, Lord God, would flow into his heart, through his mind, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you would grant him with the wisdom, Lord. I pray, God, that you would grant him, Lord, with the love and with the patience, God, that it takes, Lord God, to pastor. I ask you, Lord God, that your hand would be upon him, that you would touch him, that you would be with him, Lord. I pray also, God, for Sister Casey, and I ask you, Lord God, that you would touch her today, Lord God, as our pastor's wife, that your spirit, the Holy Ghost, would flow through Sister Casey, God. You would anoint her, God. You would give her wisdom, God. You would give her patience, Lord God. Give her love and understanding, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for each one of their children, God. And I know, Lord God, that as a child growing up in a pastor's home, Lord, it can be very difficult, Lord God. But I pray, Lord, for each one of their children, God, that your hand would be upon them. You would strengthen them, God, as a family, that you would find favor, Lord, with you, God. We are not perfect, Lord. None of us are perfect. These children are not perfect. But, God, I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon them. And help them grow, Lord God. And Lord, help them be an extension, God, of their father's ministry, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I thank you, God. I appreciate, Lord, I worship you. We praise you. And Lord, I ask, Lord, also that we have Brother Phil and Sister Jessica here. And I'm just going to lay hands on Brother Phil. And we're going to anoint Sister Jessica that the power of the Holy Ghost would flow through them. Lord God, as they work as a team, God, to assist Pastor Peter, Lord God, I pray, God, both for Phil and for Jeff, God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, God, that the power and the Holy Ghost, God, would grant them wisdom, Lord God, as we move this church, as they move this church, Lord, into the next level, the next dimension where you desire us to be, God. I pray, God, that you would grant them with wisdom, Lord, with patience, with love and understanding, God. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you would grant this whole team, Lord, God, with your love, God, and with your spirit. And, Lord, God, that you would pour out across this team, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, and what we're going to do now is our ministers and elders, we're just going to anoint them here today, and our a church board that is so vital in the decision-making process. And I'm going to open this up now to the rest of you here. If you feel a call in ministry and you need an anointing on your life, and I know we can't anoint everyone here today, but we can work our way through the crowd, and I just want to invite you up to the front as a symbolic step to say, God, as we move forward, not that you haven't had God's presence in the past, but as you move forward, as this church moves forward, that we need to move forward in the anointing. If you're a young person here, listen, David was anointed as a young lad long before he became king. So you may think, well, I'm just a young person. It doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. God wants to use you. We have young ministers. We have ministers' wives. We have preachers. We have evangelists. We have young prophets. We have missionaries all here. And we want to take and work our way through. If we can just pray for our elders and our church board, and then we'll continue to pray, and we're just going to move our way through. And I would like our congregation, if we could just pray that God would lead and guide our steps as we step into His will and His purpose.
And before we move further, I want Roy and Lois to come. And I want this congregation to stretch your hands, and I want all of the ministers to come and anoint them. They are moving into a new season of life, but it's not a retirement. It's just a new phase. You don't retire from the kingdom of God, but you can move into a different phase. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would direct every step that Roy and Lois take from this moment forward, that they would have a clear direction, that they would have a clear word, that they would know exactly where they're supposed to go, that they would know exactly what their purpose in this new season of life is, that they would be able to embody you and show you to everyone that they come in contact with. I ask for an anointing to fall on them today. Lord, something special, something peaceful, something encouraging, something invigorating would come into their spirit to light their new path. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Peter is going to have something to say to all of you, and then whatever he does. But I want everybody in this building that wants to be anointed for this new season. This isn't just about him. This is about you too. You need a special anointing to walk out the future plans of this church. The future is not going to look like the past. The future is built on the past. And we need clarity of mind. We need unity of vision. We need a direction from God that says, do this, and we all follow at the same time. And that takes an anointing. And you heard about the sheep and what the anointing keeps from happening among us. We need everybody to be anointed in this new season to back our new pastor and our whole team leadership.
Thank you, Sister Spears. Sometimes I think there's this perception of there's 2.5 feet here that sets the difference between the people that are anointed, that God has called to be anointed, and the people that are supposed to sit and watch the people that are anointed. But I look back to Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him and said, you shall say this to the house of Jacob, to the children of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Church, we have to get out of the mindset that Moses is who goes up to the mountain for us. We have to get away from the mindset that the priest and the rabbi and the bishop and this is the person that hears from God for me. Because God called the children of Israel to be his anointed holy nation. That's all of us. That's all of us. And Peter, my favorite disciple, he goes later and he says in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation. He's not talking to the 12 disciples. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. You know why we're a kingdom of priests, church? You know why God has called us to be a kingdom of priests? Because our job is not to sit in the camp. Our job is to impact the world around us. We're all growing to be priests. We're all supposed to be anointed. And so as we get ready to do this last bit of anointing, and I'll have all the ministers, board, everybody, if you got an oil, grab one. If you would like to commit today, because remember what he said. He said, remember where I brought you from and obey me, and you will be a kingdom of priests. If you are ready to commit today to say, I want that. I don't know what it means. It might mean I'm 2.5 feet higher someday with a microphone. It might just mean that I'm a kingdom of priests at my job. If you want to commit to that consecration, come to the front, church. Maybe it's as simple as I just want to know a little bit more about God. Come to the front. My kids were really nervous about what it was like to get oil on your head. It's okay. Come on, let's come up to the front. In just a moment, we're going to have the ministers go down, and I'm going to have Sister Spears pray over us as a church. But if you are wanting to be closer to God, to say, I want to hear from God. I want to be anointed. I want to be a holy nation. I want to be part of this kingdom of priests, not this kingdom of people that sit in the camp. This is your chance. Come to the front. Come to the front, and we're going to try to reach everybody we can, and it's going to be very quick, but she's going to pray, and we're going to go around. Come to the front and consecrate yourself. Put your hands in the air and commit to what God has for your life.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We anoint these people today, Lord, like the congregation came before the tabernacle in the wilderness. And they were anointed for service for you, Lord. We are calling Calvary Gospel Church to the front of this auditorium today to be anointed for service, to be anointed to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be anointed to move as one river flowing in the same direction, to be anointed to stand behind their leadership team, to be anointed to support their new pastor, to be anointed to pray for Roy and Lois daily, to be anointed to win their neighbors to God, to be anointed to where they go in Walmart and they see somebody that's hurting and they just lay hands on them right there and they're healed. Lord, we've got to be anointed to move in this world like we never have been before. Just like the oil was used to light the candlesticks, let this oil and anointing today be used to light us up as a city set on a hill in the middle of the darkness that draws people to us. In Jesus' name. God, I pray for an anointing to fall.
All of my games.